out after a long trek. Today being Monday, 24th January 2000. Just to recap, could anybody tell me where we have reached? Which verse? So that.
Finish
with Yusuf. That was the final thing. So we read the Surah Taha, Surah A'raf, and Surah Baqarah, right? But what were we talking about? When we discussed the three surahs, we were talking about a particular thing.
Prophet Adam
coming to heaven and so on, on earth. You see, all that we have discussed, we have tried to follow the introduction of concepts as it appears in the Holy Quran, chronologically. We started in Surah Al-Fatiha, we went on to Surah Al-Baqarah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, when we came to وَإِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, we discussed about Khalifa. Thereafter, the talk went on about Iblis, we talked about Iblis, referring to every other reference in the Holy Quran about Iblis. Then we came to Prophet Adam and how he came on this earth and whether he sinned or not, what was the sin and so on. Again, referring to the three different places in which the Quran has repeated the incident. So, we are in actual fact in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 39. We have finished up to 39. We start with verse number 40. Right? From verse number 40 up to, I think, 170 or 180, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Banu Israel and reminding them that, look, don't forget the favors I did on you. Ya Bani Israel, right? Now the reason why Allah is addressing Banu Israel are two. One, it was the Jews who were harassing the Prophet in Makkah, number one. Number two, this message was for Arabs as well. The Arabs were refusing to believe despite so many favors granted to them by Allah. And they had started making demands. Okay, we want, why is this man walking in the markets? Why is this man, an ordinary person, eating food with us? Why not an angel? If it has to be divine, then why not an angel to come and tell us? And Allah here recants whatever happened to Banu Israel. He said, look, these were human beings like you, who demanded things like you, and we granted them, and this is what they did. So you got to learn from this. Okay, that is not going to help you. When you don't want to believe, you are not going to believe. If you want to believe, what I have sent, there is enough evidence for you to believe. Right? So he starts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts. And in these 130 or so verses, Allah talks about 12 different instances during the time of Prophet Musa. You know, we have discussed Prophet Musa's life at length, right? 12 different instances where this Banu Israel were saved from Fir'aun, and then they wanted to see Allah, right? Then they were all killed. Then Allah asked them to kill each other. Then they started worshipping a calf. We've studied all that in the story of Musa. This is just repeating, right? So if we go through it, we won't go through all the 130 verses, but in between the 130 verses, certain concepts will come up. And it is these concepts that we will study, right? For example, today we will study the concept of shafa'at. Okay, shafa'at, when we talk of shafa'at, what does Allah mean by shafa'at? What is shafa'at? Who can do shafa'at? And so on, right? So, just to get to that stage, let's just read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإيايا فارهبون وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإيايا فاتقون ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وانتم تعلمون. You see, the Jews had a funny way of distorting truth. ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل, that means they were adorning truth with what was wrong, right? ولا تكتموا الحق, and do not hide truth. So they were not only hiding truth, they were also distorting truth with their own version of truth, giving it in such a way, sugar-coated, right? In such a way that people would say, ah, this is true, this is right. But that is actually adorning truth with what is battle. I get a very good example whenever I recite this verse. I don't know whether you will agree with me or not. There was an argument by a certain scholar. I don't want to name the scholar. And many of you will recognize the scholar by what I say. This argument was about hijab. Okay, hijab. We must, in our lifetime, make our women wear hijab, right? They must feel the hijab, they must taste the hijab, they must see how it is worn, when it is worn, and so on, right? So he said, if we have separate halls for men and women in our imamaras, in our centers, then what happens is that somebody who does not wear hijab is never going to wear hijab. So what he was suggesting was that we have a mixed gathering. One hall. We have men on one side, women on one side, physical separation. No partition, just separation. But every woman who enters the hall must wear the hijab. So that way, whether she is wearing hijab or not at her own home, she will at least wear the hijab, know how to wear it, feel it, and understand when to wear it. Right? Otherwise, you and I both know that there are some women who will spend their whole lives without ever wearing the hijab, even if they have to come to the center. There are women who come here who do not wear hijab, and they are not going to wear hijab. So the argument was that why don't we make our women forcefully wear hijab? And the only way we can do that is if we have a mixed gender. Now this, I believe, is sugar-coated. Right, where it says haq cheke, where the truth is that we want to make our women wear hijab. We want to do something so that they wear at least once in their lifetime, probably hujjat tamam the year. Right? Batil cheke, is this the way to do it? To have a mixed gathering? So what they are doing, what is called, is that batil, what is wrong, is adorned in the veil of truth. When in actual fact, in there is no truth. The haq is not there. It is all batil. But you adorn it in such a way that people who fail to have the vision to understand what is the true reality of what is being suggested will say this is right. And that is exactly what happened. This was an argument in 1993, not recent. 1993 this argument started. Anyway, this was the way Jews were promoting their beliefs.
Wouldn't Imam Ali who said falsehood never travels alone?
Sorry?
Wouldn't Imam Ali who said falsehood never travels alone?
Imam Ali is a man's brother. So, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Despite you knowing the truth, you still hide the truth. That is also not allowed. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. أتأمرون الناس بالبر, you are telling others to do good, وتنسون أنفسكم, and you are forgetting your own self. وأنتم تتلون الكتاب, and you are the ones reciting the book, أفلا تعقلون, don't you ponder over what you do. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. وَاسْتَعِينُوا, seek assistance. Right? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. The same word. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, by patience and prayers. Imam Ali alayhi salam, hadith says, whenever he had any difficult time, a problem, a thing he had to think about, whether it was something to do with the state or war or whatever it was, Imam Ali alayhi salam in his hadith says that whenever I came across any major issue that needed some consideration, I would first recite namaz. First namaz. Berakat namaz, pray two rakat namaz, and then solve the problem. And then find a solution. Because Allah says, ista'inu, seek assistance. In patience and prayers. In tafsir Ayashi, tafsir Qummi, these tafsir that I'm talking about, tafsir Ayashi, tafsir Qummi, are the earliest tafsir. When I talk of earliest tafsir, I mean these tafsirs were written during the time of our Imams. These tafsirs were written in the 1st and 2nd century Hijri. That means they were during the time of our Imams, right? In those tafsir, more than one hadith by different sources have been mentioned that the sabr here was ta'inu bi sabri wa salah. Sabr is referring to fasting. So when you have a problem and you need a solution, fast and pray. Right? And that is going to help you solve the problem. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. It is indeed something difficult. It is not easy. It is not easy to say, if I have any problem, I'll, you know, fast, or I'll be patient, or I'll start reciting prayers. It's not easy. It's easy to say. But when the time comes, we know how difficult it is to practice. Allah says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Except those whose hearts have submitted. خَاشِعَ, there is a difference between خُضُوع and خُشُوع. You may have heard these words in madlises, in du'as. خُضُوع and خُشُوع. خُضُوع is the physical, where with my physique I submit. For example, when I go into sajda and I perform ruku', that is called خُضُوع. خُشُوع is with the heart. When my heart gives in and submits to the will of Allah. So any problem, any particular difficulties I'm facing, my heart inside has submitted to the will of Allah and says, "Can I will be patient. I will let the course, you know, of actions dictate itself. I will pray to Allah, whatever is going to happen will happen." So that is khushu. Illa ala al-khashi'in. So it is indeed a difficult step to resort to patience or prayers, except on those whose hearts have submitted to the will of Allah. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Ayatullah Tabatabai here points out to the word, to the use of the word يظنون. يظنون is from the word ظن. And we all know what is ظن. There is a difference between shak, ظن, علم and yaqeen. These are four stages. I am not going into ilmul yaqeen and aynul yaqeen and haqqul yaqeen. These are very advanced stages of knowledge. But if we go into first stage of knowledge, which is shak, where you have a doubt, 50-50. A dhan is more than 50, less than 100. And you have ilm and yaqeen, which is 100% certain. Right? Now, here, Allah says, those who just dhan, that they are going to meet their Lord. Why did Allah use dhan? He did not say ya'lamun, those who know. He did not say yastayqanun, for example, those who have yaqeen. Khushu' comes with those who only believe. You know, more than 50%. After we are very far, huh? Believe me. When it comes to believing that there is a day of judgment, we are so far away. When somebody has yaqeen, right? You compare it to the words of Imam Ali in Islam, who says that I have so much yaqeen that even if this veil was taken away from me, no increment would be in my certitude. These are his words. That means he's as good as he has seen it himself. Now, to get to that stage, we have to rise above the state of shak. Theoretically, it is good enough to say, the day of judgment is going to come, it is there, we all know it, we all believe in it, right? But how much does it influence our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, our words? How much? That is the yardstick. The yardstick is not what I say, I believe, and I know it is there. The yardstick is how much does it affect my actions, my thoughts, my mentality, my decisions, my life. The more it does, the more certitude I have, the more sure I am. And it is a cycle, huh? Okay, the more I get influenced or the belief of hereafter affects my actions, the deeper and firmer my belief becomes. So, if I do things preventing myself from doing haram thing, right? Then my faith on the hereafter, my belief will get deeper and entrenched in my life. So it is a circle that works both ways. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ, at least they have more than the stage of doubt. These are not the people who are certain, because yaqeen, with that kind of yaqeen, only happens to anbiya and awliya, the prophets and their successors. Right? That is why Ayatollah Tabatabai says that the word of the usage of the word yadunnuna is so apt here. It refers to a wider range of creation rather than just prophets and imams. So when people say, okay, this is only prophets and this is only imams, here this is a clear indication that imams and prophets are those who have yaqeen as far as the day of judgment is concerned. It is we who are hovering around the stage of shak and dhann.
Despite that, it's not really saying very much.
It is not.
All it's saying is you'll meet your Lord.
Absolutely.
And even a bird is going to meet his Lord. I mean, even a bird is going to meet his Lord.
Everybody, yeah. But so those who have that yadunnun, those who know,
are going to meet, and those who don't know are going to meet him as well.
Yeah, but these are the ones who are going to resort to prayers and patience. Who are the ones? You see, the alladhina is referring to those who are going to. You see, innaha lakabiratun. It is a difficult thing. Illa عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. These are the ones, right, whose hearts have submitted, and these are the ones who have more than just a doubt that they are going to meet their Lord.
It's a continuation.
يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Here Allah introduces a very interesting concept, huh? Because the concept that comes into this, إِنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, I bestowed favors on you. I favored you compared to the rest of the world, right? The concept here is justice of God. Is Allah just? Here he says he has bestowed favors on Bani Israel, عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, over the others. He has favored them over others. So is Allah just? And this is where it begins, the concept of shafa'at. Okay, shafa'at has to be understood in the light of Allah's justice. Okay, Allah is just, we all know. So justice demands that if somebody sins, if somebody disobeys, then there is a certain penalty, a certain punishment. And that punishment has to be meted out. It has to be given out. So where does shafa'at come? Before I carry on, I want to understand what we understand by shafa'at. What do we understand by shafa'at? Shafa'at, let me start with you. What do we understand by
shafa'at? Intercession, where the normal order of qadar and qadar is changed. The normal order of qadar and qadar is changed.
Okay.
By asking.
So is that intervention? Intercession is as good as intervention. And where does it take place?
Where is it? Well, in this case of Banu Israel, for example, maybe when...
No, there is no shafa'at here, sorry. I was comparing it to justice of God.
But there was in this case. Wasn't it Ibrahim who said, please bestow favors on my children? And this is the shafa'at.
This is the shafa'at, okay. So that is... Anybody else? Come on.
Someone who is closer to Allah than you asks on your behalf.
Someone
who is closer to Allah than you asks on your behalf.
Okay.
So for example, if you want to get an audience with, say, the president, you would go to someone close to him, you wouldn't go directly.
That is shafa'at. So if I want to ask for any favor, right? Say I am childless and I want a child. So I go to, say, for example, the haram of Hazrat Abbas, and I intercede, or I seek from Allah through the intercession of Hazrat Abbas, and that will be shafa'at.
It's likely to get answered quicker.
Yes, and if it is answered, then that will be shafa'at, yeah. Taweez,
writing.
So that is shafa'at through Qur'an, for example, or you know, the verse of the Qur'an. Right. Let's read the next verse so that we understand. Verse number 48. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون. Right? Shafa'at, starting from the Arabic term shafa'at. Shafa'at is, as those of you who know, namaz al-shafa' and namaz al-witr. Namaz al-shafa' is two rakat, namaz al-witr is one rakat. So namaz al-shafa' means pair. And witr is odd, right? Shafa'at comes from that word to mean that something cannot be fulfilled until you pair it with something else, right? That is why the word shafa'at is used. Got to understand technically, linguistically, why the word shafa'at is used, right? Number one. Number two, shafa'at is not there in this world at all. It is not there in this world, it is not there during death, it is not there after death. Shafa'at is only there on the day of judgment. So, whatever happens now can be called karamat, can be called fadl, can be called rahmat, but not shafa'at. Because shafa'at specifically means that you seek help in interceding. Seek help in either lifting a punishment or adding a reward. So for example, if I have done something good and I see on that day that this reward is not good enough, right? I ask the Holy Prophet or I ask those who are entitled to do shafa'at that I need some more. And if they intercede on my behalf, I am either granted that extra reward or a punishment of some kind is lifted off. That is called shafa'at. There is nothing else. And the Quran has mentioned shafa'at in three different ways. One, it has mentioned that there is no shafa'at at all. Like this verse here. This verse here says that be prepared for the day when there is no shafa'at. Correct? Wala shafa'at. Secondly, it has mentioned that there will be shafa'at that is useless. La tan yawma la tanfa'u shafa'at. Right? And thirdly, it has mentioned that there is shafa'at, but it is only Allah who has the right to give shafa'at. Let's look at the few verses so that we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Right, the verses that say there is no shafa'at, huh? Verse number Baqarah 166. وراوا العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب 166 وراوا العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب. Now إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا وراوا العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب. You see, إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا. Class usage of the words, I mean, so eloquent. Tabarra'a is to wash hands off, yeah? On that day, people who are followed will wash their hands off people who followed them. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابِ and they saw the punishment وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. Now, whatever they thought would work with them, that link is now. It's good. So there is no shafa'at. This is, you see, what different kinds of shafa'at have been mentioned in the Quran. If we understand that shafa'at is used to save from punishment, for example, right? Look at, try and understand in our day-to-day worldly affairs. Okay, if we have, say for example, a court judgment, a ruling, right? A ruling would be, you have to pay such and such fine, otherwise there is a CCJ on you. Now, this CCJ can only be removed by paying the fine. If you can't pay the fine, you appeal, and so on. Now, you find ways. What you are looking for is means of shafa'at. Either you appeal to the MP, you appeal to the society, you appeal to the local council and say this is too much and this is bad, through media, through somebody you know, through a lawyer friend. Africa. Africa needs no explanation. How do these things work? These things work through shafa'at. Shafa'at means you're looking for somebody who is going to get your work carried out, right? Your punishment lifted. Now, there, on the day of judgment, what is going to happen is that all the possible means that we adopted on this earth, right, of getting our way, will not be applicable there. You think of it, friendship, relationship, blood relatives, right, money, you buy things, society, pressure, media pressure, letters, whatever you call it. Think of all these things. These are the things that would normally work in the world we understand. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, not in one place but in different places over the whole Holy Quran, He has mentioned every particular method that we use on this earth. وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ. Right? خُلَّةٌ is friendship. بَيْعٌ is business. Right? You can't buy those services. Every possible thing that we use on this earth as a means of getting what we want, there, that method will not be applicable at all. And Allah has mentioned that in the Holy Quran. If you look at the verses, verse number Surah Al-Baqarah 254, which says there is no purchase, there is no friendship, there is no shafa'at. Verse number 254, Surah Al-Baqarah. We're still in Surah Al-Baqarah only.
Mustafa, are you going to be able to explain shafa'at in this class a little bit more? The thing I'm trying to understand the shafa'at, for example, is step A, I ask Allah for something. Step B, I ask through someone else. And it doesn't make sense to me why this step is accepted and that one isn't. Is going through an imam, like an imam is more merciful than Allah is?
Ah.
Why? Would Allah not listen to a person's dua directly and only if he went through someone else?
Definitely.
If the dua itself was just?
No.
I mean, I don't understand.
This is where I pointed out that it is out of Allah's mercy that He grants. Correct?
Okay.
When I ask for, say for example, simple thing like forgiveness of sins, right? Do I deserve forgiveness of sins? Number one.
Say
I have sinned.
Okay.
Who has the privilege to forgive?
Allah.
It is His prerogative, right? So, if I ask, Allah may or may not, based on His knowledge or based on His understanding of my life, that what kind of sincerity am I asking? How am I going to change after this? That if He cleans my slate, is it going to remain clean or is it going to get polluted again? With all these considerations, Allah will accordingly forgive. Right? He is just, He is merciful, He is forgiving, but in its own place. But it has its own conditions. That the person asking forgiveness has to show that he is remorseful, he is never going to repeat it again, he is never going to do this, and then based on that Allah will forgive. But with the Holy Prophet or with the Imams, even if I am sinful, even if I have done a lot of sins in the past, right? And that is not as a favor to me as a favor to them. See, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ اِسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابَ لَهُمُ. If they, Allah says, if they seek forgiveness from Allah, and the Holy Prophet seeks forgiveness for them, they would find Allah very forgiving.
Why would the Holy Prophet look at me or you with different eyes than Allah?
Human being. the Holy Prophet, wait, that is another question. Shafa'atma, that is another question. You tell me, if you have done justice to the Prophet, if you have done justice to the Prophet's family, right? Then the Prophet would look at you with favorable eyes. But if you are somebody who has disobeyed Allah, if you are somebody who has not taken into consideration the family of the Holy Prophet, right? You think the Prophet is going to look at you favorably? The Holy Prophet will definitely look at us. You see, Allah has justice. He's just. The Holy Prophet is not a judge. Right? He can favor. So he asks for favors. Although it doesn't, it is not logical, but it's fitting. He used to go to the shop every day, lock his door, Ya Muhammad, tumhara hawale karush. Calling out to the Prophet, I am leaving this shop in your... You've heard the story, yeah? Ne pachi dar rod, war so sudi, koi jo story na te dukan. Ek dia sena chokra ni da chokra gyo, e lok karata ne enti ki amar bap to Ya Muhammad kare che, Ya Muhammad kare, bali ma Ya Allah kar. Ki Ya Allah. Ya Allah kare, ee rat ne chori dai. એનો બાપ છોકરાને બોલાવીને કહે છે કે હું આજે એટલા વર્ષો ત્યાં કોઈ દિવસ મારી દુકાનમાં છોડી નથી થઈ. તું તો કેવી નથી, તું યા મોહમ્મદ ના બોલે તો કે ના, હું યા મોહમ્મદ ના બોલે, યા અલ્લાહ બોલ્યો. જવાબમાં શું કે છે કે એ ખુદાનું કામ જ છે કે અહીંયાથી ઓવા અને ઓવાથી અહીંયા. ઇઝ નોટ રાઈટ. આઈ નોટ થિંક ઇટ ઇઝ રાઈટ. ડોન્ટ ગેટ મી રોંગ.
ઇટ ટેક્સ ફ્રોમ હુ હેઝ ટુ ગિવ ટુ મચ.
બટ વોટ આઈ એમ સેઇંગ ધેટ અલ્લાહ હેઝ અ સિસ્ટમ હી હેઝ ટુ ફોલો. હી ફોલોઝ. અલ્લાહ ઇઝ જસ્ટ. Somebody who has sinned deserves punishment. Somebody who has done good deserves reward.
Logically, how far's point actually is? I mean, how can the Prophet look at something different from Allah?
How can the Prophet
judge something differently from Allah?
He's saying that for him to be logical. No, but he's interceding. But
this point is very valid. I
mean, logically, the Prophet would look at the same criteria as Allah in deciding whether he wants to give intercession.
No, I don't think so. You see, the Prophet would try and make it easy for everybody. Whereas Allah has a system He has created. Whoever follows the system fits in. Whoever doesn't follow the system doesn't fit in. Allah has created that. The Holy Prophet would be more merciful.
Let's say Allah is 40 times more merciful than the mother. Yeah. Whereas the Prophet is a human being. Look at it that way.
I mean, there's nothing I wouldn't do that my mother wouldn't forgive me for. Nothing. And your mother as well, on that basis. And as for Hazrat Ibrahim, see, he asked Allah directly, he didn't ask through anyone. He said, for my children.
No, that is true. You see, the Prophet, he was a Prophet. Right?
So there was no Shafa there. The Shafa was there, but...
Like I said, that is not Shafa. To ask for prayers and Allah listens to your prayers is not Shafa. Shafa is on that day of judgment. When people will be in the fire of hell, or will be heading towards the fire of hell, and they will be removed from that, put on the course to Jannah. Right? Now, Shafa'at again, with evidence from the Holy Quran, is for people who have major sins. People who believe and have major sins. And by major sins, I mean major. Kabaira.
Like us. Like all of us.
Abhi, belief ye kabaira ki. But in any case, Allah says, the Holy Prophet has said, that Shafa'at is not for those who just do good deeds. Right? Shafa'at is for those whose belief is in the right place. Then, pachi out of weakness of being a human being, there are major sins. And these major sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran very clearly, those who have not committed major sins, Allah will forgive the small sins. Very clear, yeah. Je loko who are believing in Allah and the Day of Judgment, so their belief is in the right place, but then they have not committed a major sin in their life. Therefore, Allah on the Day of Judgment will forgive and overlook all their shortcomings. Hold on. Let me finish one thing. One very important thing is that the major sin, the largest possible sin, is doing something small, thinking that this is small.
Yeah.
Right? So it's difficult. It's not as clear cut as application. Ah, okay, nana guna na kare. I mean, nana guna kare. We don't have a license to do small sins, right? Minor sins. We don't. Because to do a minor, to perform, or rather to do a minor sin thinking that this is minor, is itself a major sin. Right? So, coming to the point, why, how would the Holy Prophet pray for somebody? It is quite valid now that I see the
common example. I've heard it much that the prayer came off sin, and especially from the Prophet, that I don't know how to pray.
Imam Muhammad Baqir al-Islam, if you remember, I have said this quite often, even in many madrasas, that when he was describing to his companion Jabir, that on the Day of Judgment, our shafa'at is for those man kana lan. No, he was describing who are those who are lovers of Ahlul Bayt, right? And he says, whoever was obedient to Allah, right, is a lover of Ahlul Bayt. And whoever is disobeying Allah, then he is our enemy. These are the words of Imam. That means that whoever disobeys Allah and then claims to be a lover of Ahlul Bayt, there is a contradiction. So, I can understand that the criteria for them to accept us would be that we are not defying the laws of Allah. See, it's not contradicting. Sinning is different, because sinning, we are weak human beings, right? But it's the question of defiance. How arrogant do we get? And if we defy the laws of Allah deliberately, knowingly, right, then that is in direct contradiction to the teachings of the Prophet. And therefore, there the Holy Prophet will not come in. But let me just find out more about Shafa'at. Right, let's go on. We shall discuss this further, inshallah. Verse, Surah Zumr, verse 44, is the verse that says, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا.
Which is Zumr?
Surah Zumr, which surah number is that? Anybody? No? What will you do with that Abbas, huh? Abbas Virji, remember him? Abbas Virji, you have to say, who's that man in Chokri now? Huh? 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 Surat Zum? Yeah, 39, 34. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. جَمِيعًا is an adjective that means totally. Totally shafa'at is for Allah and Allah only. Now, Quran in many places says, like in Ayatul Kursi, if you remember Ayatul Kursi, it says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Right? Who will be able to intercede with him? Except
by his
permission. So shafa'at is for Allah and for those who He grants the permission. Got to understand that. So it is not for anybody. Now, let's try and understand people who argue against shafa'at, and I'm sure you've come against these people. People who say shafa'at is not going to take place. What do they say? Right? Why do they refuse to believe in shafa'at? They refuse to believe in shafa'at because of the verses that say that there is no shafa'at. Right? The verses like the one we are just doing, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 48, 49, which says that there is no shafa'at on that day. So they have clung to those verses and say that there is no shafa'at. They forget that there are verses, equal in numbers, that say there is shafa'at for Allah and for those who Allah permits. Right? And who are these? These are the Holy Prophets, these are the Prophets, these are the Quran, these are the angels, The angels have also been mentioned in the Holy Quran as those who seek forgiveness for the mu'minin, for the believers. Right? So all these are people, are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have been granted the permission to perform shafa'at. Eka. Biju. They say that if shafa'at was to take place, then that would go in contrary to the system in which Allah has created. Allah has created us within a system which says that if you do good, if you obey, you will get Jannah. If you disobey, you get Jahannam, for example, right? So, for every sin, there is a punishment. And if there is shafa'at, then it is becoming like the Catholic concept. When the Catholics say, yeah, Jesus died for our sins, so we can sin, right?
Where was that ayat that says there's no shafa again? Which number?
Sorry?
That ayat that said there's no shafa? Which number?
Surah Al-Baqarah.
Which ayat? Okay.
Surah Al-Baqarah verse number 48, 49.
So how do we resolve these contradictions, these apparent contradictions?
Look at Surah Al-Baqarah 109. On the day not there no intercession of wealth, save in to whom the merciful has brought permission.
So there are verses that say that there will be no shafa'at except with permission. There are verses that say there will be no shafa'at. There are verses that say that there will be shafa'at but it will be useless. يَوْمَ لَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةِ. Wait, you see, the verse that you're just referring to, verse number 48, it says that shafa'at will not be accepted from him.
Yeah.
So that means these are the people on that day they will not get shafa'at.
So is this being addressed to those people? Or to everyone?
No, this is addressed to the Jews.
The bounty which I favored upon you with. Now in the Arabic, is there that past tense, is it like the ones I favored you with and continued, or is there a favored you with and no longer? Is there any sense of in the past tense that this is past, it's not going to happen anymore?
Yeah, it is a past.
I mean, I don't know the Arabic.
The Arabic one says, "Allati an'amtu alaykum wa anni fadaltukum 'ala al-'alam." I favored you.
Then that's it.
So they are no longer the favored ones.
Okay.
Right? Now, you brought an interesting thing. I know there is a verse here which talks about who benefits from shafa'at and who is deprived from shafa'at, right? A verse that clearly says, yeah. Al-Mudathir, which is towards the end, verse 48. Al-Mudathir, verse 48. Yeah, 74, 48. In fact, you start from 38. You go up to 48. Have you found it? It starts with Kullu nafsim bima kasabat rahina illa ashab al-yameen في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نكن من المصلين ولم نكن نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين فما تنفعهم شفاعة الشافعين. These are the people on whom shafa'at is going to be useless. Who are they? These are the people who specifically mention these four things. We are the ones who failed to do these four things. They are in the fire of hell. Saqar is fire of hell, yeah? Saqar is the name of Jahannam, one of the names of Jahannam. Now, mailu no mailu? 74-48. Surat Mudathir, 74. 38-48. It says when Ashabul Yameen will be in Jannah, right? They will ask that why are you in hell? what happened to you? The first important thing is that because there will be so little difference between these two kinds of people, that is why they will be wondering, okay, what went wrong? Why are you there and why are we here? So little difference as in their actions, in their beliefs. People who seem to be similar, yet there are people who are granted. Ashabul Yameen, Ayatollah Tabatabai maintains two things. Ashabul Yameen are those who are given their books in their right hands on the Day of Judgment. You know, there is a surah that says that people who will be given their books in their right hands on the Day of Judgment, right? Those are Ashabul Yameen. And he also believes that Ashabul Yameen are those who believe in an Imam after the Holy Prophet. That is to say, Shias, right? He has his own way of proving that, yeah? So Ashabul Yameen, he says, are those who will be given their books in their right hand and are those who believe in the Imam after the death of the Holy Prophet. And those who are in Jahannam will be those similar. And because of the similarity, those in Jannah will be asking, what went wrong with them? What drove you to the fire of hell? And they will say, these are the four things we failed to do. But then Ayatollah Tabatabai goes on to explain, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. Right? We were not praying. Does that mean they were not praying publicly? They may be praying. They may be praying because otherwise why would Ashabul Yameen ask them what went wrong? Why are you here? These are the people who took prayers lightly. These are the people who, although in public came together to pray, but in private never prayed. The moment they were given the time to be alone, never prayed. Right? So, these are the people who in private life were very different from their public.
The heart wasn't there.
And the four things that have been mentioned, if you look at it, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِبُ الْمِسْكِينَ. We were not praying, we were not feeding the needy. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِرِينَ. What is the word used for khaz?
Vanity.
Yeah.
Vain talk. What?
Vanity. نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِرِينَ. We were sort of, maja karta tha, maja karo raha. Right? You know what I mean by maja?
So in the month of Ramadan, when we're having death, when we're having an ash, is that wrong?
It is.
Seriously speaking.
Right? Seriously speaking, the question asked, vanity, fine, nakhudu ma'al khaydeen, vain talk. So by Ramzan we have daku and we have vain talk. Is that right or wrong? It's wrong. Who can
and
say
what
this?
What is what you did?
Huh?
Who is vain talk?
I mean, there's no given.
What is vain talk?
Religion.
No, that is not vain talk.
The normal way we talk.
No, normal way is okay. What I'm saying is vain talk.
What's
just laugh? Laughing here, Masuji.
Constructive
way, something where we learn something, fair enough. Baki. Something where we don't benefit at all, right? Is vain talk.
Networking.
No, seriously.
We is there an example that we can see that say, this is the way we should be? Or are we saying that, we should only talk about religion and physics and then go home?
You can talk of community affairs, you can talk of leadership in community, provided the intention is set, the intention is constructive. The intention is, But if the intention is, with no direction, as to why are we discussing this? We are discussing this so that we may bring around a change in the society. If there is no direction, then it becomes vain. It becomes futile. Is there a direction in the talk? If there is no direction in the talk, to find this, aaj tafsiri class kare che, tafsiri class ma ek maksad che. Right? There is that intention. The intention is that we have to change ourselves, forget everything else. Individually we have to change. We have to understand the Quran, we have to pay more attention to the message of the Quran and change, develop ourselves. The intention is not, I am cleverer, more learned than you and therefore I can discuss with you. It's not that. So, the intention is very important in talks. You can talk about the community, you can talk about the madrasa, you can talk about what people are doing, wasting their lives without giving names, right? But all with a view to try to change the society's mentality, you know, with a direction.
When we're talking with people, sometimes you have a constructive intention. Huh? Sometimes you have a destructive intention, which is wrong. But sometimes you don't have any intention. You're just talking to people. You're saying that's wrong as well.
I am saying every talk you have should have a direction. Should have some intention. Otherwise it becomes vague talk. Surat Sunnah Dua Abu Hamza Timali. For those of you who have the translation should have it. Dua Abu Hamza Timali. There is a certain part in it which says, Ya Allah, what is wrong? Every time I want to do something good, I decide that I want to recite prayers, mustahab prayers. Okay, early morning I wake up so that I can recite prayers exclusively for you. This is the way the dua goes. Every time I resolve I want to do that, something or the other comes and stops me from doing that. Right? Then Imam goes on to list down that what is it? Could it be this? Could it be that? And he lists down 10 or 11 different things. And amongst the things that he lists down, the Imam lists down, one of the things is, for example, or you did not find me amongst the gatherings of scholars and that is why you deprived me of this benefit. Or you found me amongst those who are, how would I put it? Bekach. Dhanda wagan. Right?
Unemployed.
You see, the reason why I didn't use the word unemployed, because that is the literal translation of the word used in Dua. Battali. Majalis al-Battali. Right? People who have nothing better to do. So, one of the things that Imam lists down is that you found me in the gatherings of those who have nothing better to do, and so you left me there. And because of that, I can't get closer to you. It's very interesting to get through to all these things. What might be blocking us to get closer to Allah? And one of them is this. Faith. Kunna nakhudu ma'al khaydeen. And the last thing is,
wish to be like the day of judgment.
وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَا الْيَقِينِ. That's the chemist.
Apart from prayers, why didn't you mention any other ibadahs?
Why? Prayers is fundamental, primary. Without prayers, nothing else is accepted. You may be doing hajj, you may be doing zakat, you may be doing khums. If there is no mas, nothing is accepted. In قُبِلَتْ قُبِلَتْ مَا سِوَاهُ وَإِنْ رُدَّتْ Ruddat masiwa. That is why Musallim, and somebody who prays regularly, somebody who is very regular in praying, what happens is that as a result, all the other wajibats come in line, and all the other muharramat get away. That is why Surah Ankabut, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says in the Salata, تَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. It is the prayers that will keep us away from the evils and the vices. So somebody who recites prayers regularly, خَلِي نَمَحْ بُنْيَا. Everything will fit in place. Everything else. Somebody who does not pray, most likely he is not even fasting. Namaz, last time I discussed this, I remember. Namaz jen na pare, what is the temptation in not reciting prayers, apart from arrogance? Person does not derive anything by not reciting prayers. With everything else in sinning, there is a temptation attached to it. There is a pleasure. But in not praying, there is no pleasure.
If you ask people who don't pray, you'll find the one reason they mention is arrogance. There is no other reason.
Huh?
Seriously.
those people who don't pray for you and all that, you ask them the one reason why they don't is RS. There isn't another reason.
On the other hand, ask those people who pray, right? Ask how it has changed their lives. You will see the amazing difference. Now to compare, je mange namaz par par chalo, ek namaz chukye, right? You see how the day is changed. Spatasha. That is the effect prayers has on our lives. We don't realize. Now the moment a person takes prayers lightly, right? It may be a person who is regular in his prayers, but he takes it lightly by either delaying it up to the last moment. Summertime chair, come at Pasha Ari and Bashi Pasunama. Right? Because it's up to 9:30 for example, Zohar. The moment a person does that, you see that person slipping down, slowly, slowly. And if he or she is not careful enough to get back, to reciting it promptly, on time, right? That person is true. But he shouldn't have said, ek namaz. You know, I mean, this is how it works. But that is the importance of prayers. So, lam nakum minal musalleen does not mean that they were not praying. It only means that they were amongst those who are not giving, attaching the correct importance and significance to prayers. Right, any questions? So this verse, Surah Al-Mudathir, gives us an indication, ke shafa'at ke na waste aise? By telling us, ke kene shafa'at daimale, kene shafa'at bekar shayi, who will not benefit from shafa'at at all, are those who will be doing these four things, either not praying, not giving to the poor and so on, right?
That means these are the worst
kunas. Does it mean these are the worst kunas? No, it does not mean. It means that for anything else they would have been granted shafa'at. In fact, a person who will not be granted shafa'at, right, will be wondering, I wish I had only done that to get shafa'at.
So you father was everybody that can get shafa'at.
Sit.
Father was so they can get shafa'at.
Those who are worse than that will be nowhere near shafa'at. These things are borderline things. Understand? At a time when you see, I wish I had done only that and I would have been in a different scenario. Right? These are the things. Do you understand? It is not like we are mentioning Yazid and Shimr and Malone. They're gone cases. They are one extreme. Nor are we mentioning the prophets and the imams, because they are on the other extreme. Abhi, we are talking of those borderline cases. Amuk ne shafaat male chhe, ne amuk ne nadhi male chhe. Amuk jannat ma chhe, amuk jahannam ma chhe. So they will be discussing, what led you here? And they will say, these are the four things. We belied the day of judgment. We belied the day of judgment as not in not believing the day of judgment. Not believers, unbelievers in the day of judgment are going to be in the fire of hell. We belied the day of judgment, that means our actions did not reflect our true belief in the day of judgment. Our actions continuously belied the day of judgment, although we said we believed in the day of judgment. This is what it means.
They should ask you, basically, they will be able to ask you.
Ah,
basically,
of course, they will discuss. Tame joso kor jahannam ma shi, tame yadi nikaro.
To communicate.
You'll be able to communicate. This will happen after, when everything has been settled. But she discussed that. You don't think, No, it don't work that way. Yeah. It will happen after, they will be talking to people in hell, they will be talking to people in heaven, and so on.
Weren't the people in hell, are we being punished? Are we in pain?
Let's
talk. Time to discuss how I got here.
They'll be burning and talking.
We need to learn there.
Yeah. You know, people always say you should be an optimist. Okay? And God is very merciful. That is a pleasant thing. When I was brought up, the concept was the other way around. That don't look on us. In the end of the world, if you do good house, etc. Now the concept is, I mean, I get it feedback from the children and other people. The concept is changing. Don't fear for everything. God is very merciful. And what is making a balance? I mean, what the. It's only a case of what, I'm 25 years old, 30 years old, and that's different.
Let me explain how I understand it, yeah? There has to be a balance. Okay? There can't be just fear or just complacency. There has to be a balance. However, if you are given the option to concentrate on one particular aspect, either you do the good things or refrain from the bad things. Forget wajibat and muharramat. I'm doing all the wajibat, I'm not doing any muharramat, right? Any major sin. Fine. To do the good things or to refrain from the bad things. What would you do first? Because we're looking at the concept of positive and negative, yeah? Pessimism and optimism. What is preferred? What is better? Forget what you would do. Islam is the sukish. Wajibat to karo che, ema. Kahi ki tu wajibat na kar.
So Mustafa, he's talking about the mentality. But isn't that come down to what Imam Ali said? You find that those people who are living in fear are those who are the worship of the slaves.
Yes, that is a different kind of.
But that's what I'm saying. When you in your everyday belief, you sit there and all the time you're worrying, "May Allah punish Kursi and better known this, Allah punish."
So that is the worshipping of a slave.
Yeah, and that's how we were taught when we were younger.
I don't know.
It's not a wrong kind of worship. It is not a wrong kind of worship.
The mullahs who came and said to the members and all that, you know, everything was azab, azab, azab. You know,
it's okay. wajibat nakar, right? It's muharramat itself. Becomes haram by not doing a wajib act. So you refrain from doing a bad act continuously. But it's sara kar ke nakar, ochakar, padu. That itself will guarantee some kind of security. Because what happens? This is how Allah has created us. When we do bad, it's like quicksand. Like quicksand, when you start sinking, if you stand still, you will sink slower. If you start struggling, you will sink faster. This is how quicksand works. Right? So the best advice you will get from people who know about quicksand is that the moment you're stuck, stop. Don't struggle. Don't try to get out. Because if you try to get out, you'll sink deeper, faster. Right? So that way, similarly, we'll sink faster. This is how it is. One will lead to another, will lead to another, will lead to another. Ena karta ape kharab kam na kare, but sara kam na kare. But at least we'll remain static where we are.
I don't think that people who are stating that we should not live in fear now are particularly not doing haram, are refraining from sin more than people before.
That is wrong. I cannot
understand what I'm saying.
Plus, I also disagree with the way we have been taught.
You disagree with the way we have been taught?
You know, there was an inspector who was a white convert, and he happens to be in the media, in the education system. White convert, and he is British, the Shia Chewe. He came to our Madrasa and he checked. He went round, read the syllabus, everything. The first thing he picked up was the negative kind of teaching that we did. He says, for example, why would a child of 5-year-old be taught about Jahannam at all? 5 varashna bachchane tame Jahannam ni aag sikharo cho. You're doing one of two things. Either you drive him away because of fear, or the fear of fire will go away from him.
Sure.
Hey, 5 years the age samre chhe. Kya kya? Kone bairo chhe? Kone joye chhe? So he says, you see, you got to learn when to strike. Up to 5-7 years, a child has to be taught on the or rather the love of religion has to be built on mercy and compassion of Allah. Okay, and a thaik is something good is coming. Then, because then a child will realize and become conscious, as the child is growing up, then you start talking about fear. You start talking about punishment, penalty. Why don't we punish children of 5 up to 7 years? Islam Majid. Because they don't understand that this is discipline. They will just take it as part of life. And then later on in their life, it is not going to make any difference in their life. So, I disagree. I mean, jahannam che ne aagma barso ne aane te. It reduces the impact. Chau gorasna bacha ne zame chodha. No, I mean, it hits us.
No, you're saying it's reduced impact, but looking at it my way, I think it is for fear more than the present people have.
For fear in the right term? Has it corrected? Has it corrected in the sense that then you know ke pachi it has made you feel ki aa bana bo go
belong. The present people have a flexible approach. They feel that God is very merciful and
also their parents were the ones who their parents were the ones probably don't fear hell so much.
I have this problem at home. When I tell them something, when I tell my children, immediately it comes back to me. No, don't tell them. But I was taught that.
But I disagree. Believe me. I know we were taught that way. I disagree for the simple reason that religion is love and compassion, not just fear and force. Understanding the religion has more charm when you practice the religion after understanding it.
Classic example I do is, the first thing I remember, when you learn how to pray, if you don't pray, you should be beaten. That is the only time you're allowed to be beaten by Allah. Is that true? That's the first thing I learned from your prayer. Is that this? Maybe. You tell that to a person, don't even comprehend it.
Yeah, but you see, first of all, the question comes is, why does a child not pray? A child will never listen to what their parents say. Never. A child looks at what their parents do. If a child doesn't pray, then you know their parents are not praying. Why else would a child not pray? No point telling a child, pray, and if you don't pray. Or if he doesn't see you praying, because you leave too early in the morning and come back too late at night or whatever. A child, and if you pray and he follows you, he'll be like a monkey behind you. Until he grows up, when he can understand, he'll be behind there. So punishing them is not the answer. The answer is to pray yourself.
You pray, you put a video on and tell a child.
No, but you don't put the video on, that's the answer. No, you don't put the video on.
You're finding shortcuts, huh? Finding shortcuts. Right, next week inshallah we shall continue some of the interesting concepts of Shafa'at. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.